Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe.
Hey, good morning, Mark Lawrence. May I say you're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today?
Don't say it.
I won't say it.
Okay, you got to wait till next month.
I know. It doesn't count if I don't say it in January.
You don't get to compliment my appearance until next year.
Well, I said you look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Your appearance is terrible.
That's okay. Oh, thank you.
All right.
I'm feeling a little
You look
cheap.
Like something the cat drug in, the dog couldn't drag back out. That's something one of my friends used to say.
Well,
that.
My lovely bride had the sniffles over the weekend, and now I have it.
Well, that's great.
And now...
Just sniffles. Now I'm going to get it, right?
Okay. I should have put you back in the tent.
Hey, what did we ever do with the tent?
The tent is folded up in my office.
Is it okay?
One of the oxygen tanks is still down at about 20%.
So we only have 20% of the oxygen left.
Well, but 20% of that tank lasts, day or two.
Well, so. If I don't breathe much, it could go longer.
No, it would last a long time.
Well, all right.
We could have you back on O2 in short, no time at all.
Well, fortunately, it doesn't appear to be needed at the moment.
Yeah, the funny thing is we used the tent. Everybody laughed at it. But guess what? You never got COVID.
I never got COVID.
Nope, I never did either.
Never got it at all. So, knock on wood.
Well, it's the vaccination that prevents you from getting it.
What? The shot? The jab?
The clot shot.
The clot shot?
How are your clots working out?
Well, I don't. So far, thank God, I don't have any.
Nor does anybody else. But somebody somewhere does. That's for sure. So,
well, we'll keep on going.
All right.
Did you get the last booster? I didn't get the last one.
The bivalent. Yes, I did.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. Well, strangely enough, I got it at a Target. I wasn't really planning to, but I went to the Target for this or that, and was at the pharmacy, and she had done my most recent one, and she said, "Would you like the bivalent booster shot?"
And you took it.
Yes.
Oh, so. You sheeple.
Well, and I've been around COVID people and haven't gotten it, so I guess that helps you a little bit. And then if you do get it, you don't get it as bad. Fewer hospitalizations, they say.
Well, I'll have to think about it.
All right. Well, we have open phones right now, so we invite you to contact us about the topic of your selection. At 9:50 this morning, we have Thane Rosenbaum. We're going to contact him.
That'll be just enough time to say, good morning, Thane. Have a nice day.
Right. So we'll put him on the best of reel, too, so he'll get some more legs out of it. But, yeah, we're glad to say Lynn Hall's our producer. She'll call CBS's Thane Rosenbaum at 9:50.
And he's going to be talking about immigration, which,
right.
Of course, the Supreme Court gave a big boost to yesterday by upholding Title 42.
Right. He's a good conservative lawyer, so we'll talk about this debacle that we got going on. Yeah, and I went back and listened to the archives. I noticed one of our good listeners asked Steve Kushiloff last week what he thought of Senator Casey's answers as it related to immigration. And, Steve said he was glad to hear, so that he thought it deserved some attention. But my view is Senator Casey didn't say one thing, and that's that it's an emergency, that it's critical or a crisis. I mean, look at the people that passed.
Anybody connected with the Democratic Party, the administration says that, then they're going to have to say, well, why isn't something being done about the emergency?
Right. If it is an emergency. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, he's not going to.
If it's just a concern, then we can have Kamala Harris acting on it at her leisure, which apparently is what she's doing.
Even NBC interviewed the mayor of El Paso yesterday.
Yeah, it's finally gotten so big that they can't ignore it. That's what's so funny about the liberal mainstream media. When they finally, like Hunter's laptop, they had to admit that was a real story and not Russian disinformation. Now they finally got to come to terms with the fact and give credit to Governor Abbott for sending these people to places where they normally wouldn't arrive. And that puts the pressure on these liberals because now something's at their doorstep.
No, and I don't know if that worked or not. It certainly wasn't. It was kind of mean-spirited, but you're right.
Why is it mean-spirited?
It served a political point.
They don't kidnap them and send them there. They ask them if they want to go there. You want to go to the Naval Observatory, see the vice president?
Well, some of them have misled before getting on the bus.
How
told
do you know?
That there are jobs in cities there.
Well,
the people that are on the buses
cities?
Claim that.
Are there jobs in cities? Yes, there are jobs. What did we hear in the last report? 11 million jobs going wanted?
English as a second language training and all kinds of benefits if you get on the bus. And then, but that's just some of them. I'm sure some have said, look, we're trying to make a political point here. How would you like to go to a city that really has the wherewithal to take better care of you than El Paso or other border towns have? Colorado, the latest state.
It's a state.
Yeah, I know. One of the cities is where they're saying that they just have too many people. And, of course, Arizona, same thing. So they're getting too many immigrants coming in that are undocumented. Of course, many say they want asylum, but they may or may not have the exact criteria.
But the administration is moving these people around the country, too. You know, you can say it's horrible for Governor Abbott to send them to the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., or to send them to Martha's Vineyard. But the government's moving these folks around because they realize that otherwise it's going to become a large, stinking mess because there are so many people that systems just collapse. And can you imagine what would happen if Donald Trump had been president during this and they have pictures at the border of these people cold and wrapped with blankets around themselves and no place to stay?
Yeah, 30 degrees.
The Democrats would be saying, this is a humanitarian emergency. Something must be done. This is horrible.
The funny thing is, President Biden, you know, you and I aren't really big fans of his, but he's not having a ridiculously terrible presidency.
Oh, really? But where is he today with all these problems going on?
Oh, in the Virgin Islands, I saw.
Yes, it's gone someplace warm because his wife likes the beach.
Look
isn't
at it this
that
way.
Nice?
Maybe he'll do less damage down there. But anyway, what I was trying to say is that, you know, he's not having a ridiculously terrible. I mean, if you stretched your brain and you came up with 10 things that he's done so far that have been, you know, probably positive things, you could do that. But
I couldn't.
You're too partisan. But I think you could. You know, I mean, I would think of things like this Australian submarine situation where they're working with the French to make sure that they're well patrolled and China's kept at bay, and the PACT Act and things like that. Whatever. President Biden could say, I have 6 accomplishments and obviously 20 huge mistakes. All right. So he could say that.
And that second part he won't say.
Right. But honestly, to leave immigration unattended is really, I mean, it's going to haunt him forever. It's going to be like Watergate and Nixon, or, you know, you remember how well President George W. Bush handled 9/11 afterward. Well, this is going to be the exact opposite.
The antithesis.
Right. For President Biden, you know, how, you know, you worked on this, you came up with that, you borrowed from the more great-grandchildren for this or that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we ignored a crisis at the border.
Well,
I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Calvin Coolidge used to say, if you see 10 problems coming down the road at you, 9 of them will run off before they get to you.
Okay.
That was his philosophy. But what he didn't say is the 10th will be so out of control, you won't be able to do a darn thing about it. And I think that's exactly what's happened here. President Biden has kicked the can down the road so often that the can has now become enormous, and it's rolling right for him.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. On the mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Toll-free line is open. You can call about immigration or any other topic. It is an open phones Wednesday. Toll-free line is open, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and we'd love to hear from you. Or you can text us at 70236, but then you're going to have the keyword OTM as part of your messaging. Cindy, you're on the mark. Your first caller of the morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I spent some time this morning attempting to identify just how many people the Biden administration intends to admit to the country in this haphazard way. You know, we legally admit over 1 million people every year through legal channels, but this is certainly not that case. The other day on ABC, I saw a report, 1.6 million refugees have been admitted to this country now under Biden and are awaiting some adjudication about whether or not they can stay. 1.6 million. And this says nothing to the ones that snuck through without using the processing center. I think it's fair to guess that it's probably twice that many. But what I want to know is, what is their intention? How many is enough? How many do they intend to admit? And you can't find that number anywhere, oddly enough. I believe that the sky is the limit in their plan.
You could be right, and that's rather frightening, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because what they're ignoring is the burden this creates on people here in America. And it does create an enormous burden. And while there are people of certain religious or political philosophies who believe that the sky is the limit and that we have an obligation to save the world, whether it's through war or diplomacy or, in this case, allowing them to come in and be a part of an ever-growing lower to low-class group of people in our country, what they ignore is the consequence to the irregular Americans, the legally present Americans, whether we were born here or we've been admitted here. And I just think it's so unjust. If you intend to overwhelm us with this, say it. Have the courage to say, I'm going to admit 5, 6, 10 million people a year that don't speak the language, that have no job, and by the way, under legalities, cannot get a job, and so must work under the table. You know, and ignoring the consequences at the local level of this in terms of overwhelming the schools with people that don't speak the language, which I've brought this up before, is an enormous cost, much more than educating a local child. It, overwhelming the healthcare system, because these people now, under Biden, have all been given carte blanche to go into the healthcare system with no expense to them. Well, it isn't that there's no expense. The expense is displaced on us. And when you do that, you drive up the cost of private health insurance.
Sure.
You make it more costly to run Medicare and Medicaid, because the hospitals aren't going to give away health care endlessly. We've heard them endlessly complaining about that. So they turn around and drive up the cost to everyone else.
That's exactly right. You know, you make an excellent point, because everything gets overwhelmed. Somebody's paying for all these social services. Somebody's paying to put these folks up in hotels. Yeah, I know we are. We're the somebody.
We are.
Yeah.
Our great-grandchildren.
And these organizations that, you know, pound their breasts and say they're holier than me because they're out there rescuing these people, all they're doing is getting them on the dole. They're facilitating them getting on the dole. And the government facilitates this by funding these non-government organizations, NGOs, that do this. It's ridiculous.
Yep, it is.
And no one has the courage to say, Cindy, we've decided that there's no end to the number of people we're going to allow to enter this country. They don't need to be organized. They don't need to be screened. They don't need anything. And once they get here, you, Cindy, will lower your standard of living in order to support them, because that's what we've decided to do.
Well, the ironic thing is that the president pushed for the so-called Inflation Control Act, which people said would actually have a very negligible impact on inflation, but that those minutia that were in the bill that would actually impact inflation would be helpful to working class families. Well, what about working class families? You know, illegal immigration is exceedingly inflationary in every way, as you've outlined, particularly in education and health care. So we are definitely going to be, and I think if the world catches on, and if the U.S. catches on, President Biden probably could have easily won re-election again, as impaired as he is. But if he doesn't solve this, I think people are going to catch on.
How's he going to solve it if he won't even admit it's a problem?
Well, first of all, you'd have to admit, you know, how many Bidens does it take to change a light bulb? Well, one, but he
Quite
has to
few.
Want to change. But he has to want to change, and he obviously does not. So, yeah, he would have to admit.
I believe now at this point, they don't have the courage to tell us this, but they have a plan in place that will just allow any number. They have no finite number. They have not set a limit on how many people they're going to allow to cross the border. They just intend to spend 4 years allowing them to pour across the border and then put them on a wide variety of government programs. And don't tell me that they don't do that. You put children in public school and immediately we're obligated to feed them. We're obligated by a Supreme Court ruling to educate these children.
All right, we got another
then
call.
I'm sorry.
That's
thank
all right.
You.
No, you're
it's
making
all
a good point, Cindy.
Yep,
thank you.
Good points all.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. All right, Joseph, last caller before a quickie break. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I agree with Cindy's view of this situation. I was watching Newsmax, and and Fox, and they were showing how bad the situation is. Then I thought, I'm going to turn over to NBC and see if they say anything. Well, I was surprised. Lo and behold, they did, and they even showed it, and they said, but here was their take on it. This Title 42 or whatever, you know, that they want to, the Democrats want to drop, you know. They said it's because of that that these poor people have to sleep on the streets. And, of course, I think it was Trump, wasn't it, that put that in place?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, well, it's Trump's fault because all these people are coming over and they're sleeping on the street. Now, if Title 42 was dropped, we could find housing for them or a proper place for them to stay. And the whole thing was condemning Trump, actually, and wanting to get rid of that. And here's the problem. And you guys, you don't see what the real problem is. They want a world without borders. That's what they want. And President Biden, that's what they want. So it's not some mismanagement. They are managing perfect to what their goal is. They want, like, the United States of Europe. It's coming out of Europe. It started there first in the EU. And we know at the end of time there's going to be a one-world government, a one-world currency. And that's what it's all going for. And President Trump interrupted that because he was draining the swamp and with making, you know, America first. No. That's not acceptable in the new world order. And I'm telling you, it's coming down the pike very swiftly that you will not buy or sell except you had to mark the name, the number of the beast, the government system. That's what Scripture says thousands of years ago, that will come to pass. And boy, I'm telling you, it's coming very swiftly.
All right, we got you. Yeah. All right, Joseph, thanks for reiterating
thanks
that
for
important
take.
Point.
Yes.
Very much appreciated. Thank you, sir.
Yep, he's gone.
No need to say goodbye. Just hang
Poof.
Up. All right, 1-800.
Poofy's gone.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. Let's see. Lynn Hall's
here.
Fabulous producer. And we're enjoying Open Phone. Started out talking about the huge, massive piece of undigested meat that is Joe Biden's administration and immigration and the crisis at the border and shipping folks all over the U.S. to different cities so that they can share the burden of busloads full of illegal immigrants. And what's your view on this topic? 1-800-795-9.
We have a very short email that's an interesting point. It says, why is it exploitation when Abbott sends them to Biden's doorstep, but it's not when Biden allows them to land on Abbott's doorstep? Good point.
All right. Well, I'm not sure Biden's exploiting them, although Cindy says in a manner she is, because they are allowing them in until they get to X number of capacity, and then he's going to do something. Maybe they hope that they'll get illegal voter registration cards and become Democrats.
I'm sure.
I'm assuming. Well, plus it supports the economy in a strange way, you know, if they get jobs illegally. 1-800-795-9565. Thanks for the email. We'll take more of them. Stan is standing by. Hello, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning. Cindy is 100% right. The Biden administration is terrible. But we all know that as far as immigration goes and a whole lot of other things, but we'll stick with immigration today. So they're sending, the Biden administration is sending illegals all around the country, mostly to red states. I heard today on a news report that 1 in 4 illegals crossing the border are being shipped off to Florida. Why would they do that? What would be the purpose? Because you know that they're not walking across the border into Florida. They're being shipped there by the administration. So what would the purpose be?
Dilute
I'm
the
assuming
redness.
It's to change the demographics.
Sure, dilute the redness.
Yeah, why not? Put pressure on put pressure on Governor DeSantis.
Turn him purple.
Right, and that's the whole purpose behind them. So, with that being said, you know, we send billions upon billions of dollars around the world every year as foreign aid. And with that money, they send their people here so that we can support them even more with our tax dollars here. So we're getting a really bad deal, don't you think?
Yep, we are.
Yeah, I mean, we're paying both at both sides. So my suggestion is that any person caught coming from whatever country, that aid to that country be immediately shut off, period.
For one person?
For one person.
So
if they're caught here, coming here illegally, one person, I don't care, no exceptions, the aid to that country will be shut off. Forever.
Wow, you're tough.
No, wouldn't that help solve some of the problems, I would think? That if they're going to do that, they'll stop allowing their people to come here illegally. I'm not saying legally, to go through the process, because there is a process. We all know that. And if they use that process, I say, welcome to America. But when they don't use the process, I say, kick them out, send them back now.
Now, do you believe
that
these foreign countries are actively encouraging their people to leave?
Yeah, why wouldn't they? Because the people in charge of those foreign countries, a lot of them, are dictators. And they don't care about their people. So if they can get rid of those people, that means it's less money that they have to take out of their pocket to spend on them. Because, you know, a lot of that foreign aid goes into the dictators' pockets.
Well, I know people who believe that, so, and I'm sure you do.
Well,
I'm not certain about it.
You're not certain? I'm sure it's not all
because
the countries.
I don't
know. But we've been sending billions of dollars around the world for decades, and we still have hungry people in Africa. And why? And the other question is, why do we send foreign aid to China? Which we do. USAID.org, or .gov, I guess it is a website, lists out all the money that we contribute, send to these countries. And China's on the list. I don't fully understand that, considering they're supposedly the biggest economy in the world, right?
Well, they are. They claim to be.
Right. So why would we be sending them foreign aid? Does anyone send us foreign aid?
Not that I'm aware of.
I didn't think so. So I think we've got a whole host of problems that need to be taken care of. And the first thing is to start by securing our border. And that would start with building a wall 100 feet high, 100 feet deep, top with machine gun nest to solve any problem that people come over. That's all.
Well, but here's good news. I looked this up when you said it. In 2003, China received $1.3 billion in aid from the U.S., or about $1 per capita. Like other countries in recent years, the United States has rapidly reduced its aid to China, reaching around $12 million from the USAID in 2011. So who knows whether it's going back up or down.
Yeah, but that would be $12 million too much.
Wouldn't
you agree?
Yes, I would. Considering the Chinese are stealing our intellectual property. I mean, they're stealing our intellectual property. We don't know what their connection was to the COVID virus because they refused to allow an impartial observer or impartial observers in to check it out. So I don't think we owe them a dime.
That's right. We don't. So, but that's neither here nor there. So until that all stops, I say any person that comes from any country that we send aid illegally into this country, all aid to that country needs to stop. Because why should we send money to them when they're sending their people to us?
I have a better idea. Why don't we take our criminals and ship them over there?
Just I don't have a problem
charter a plane and
unload the prisons, send them all there. Then we'll have room for the illegals coming across to house them until their position here is adjudicated, whether it's asylum. But the asylum's a whole other issue that they have no right to ask unless they're Mexicans. Only Mexicans have a right to ask for asylum in the U.S. or Canadians.
Yeah, but if you had started
no
in El Salvador
does.
And you're trying to flee that country's oppression and poverty and drug trade and so on, and you wanted to go to the next country. You're going to stop halfway there in Mexico and say, oh, my gosh, this is it. This is a great country. Now I'm free.
Them's the rules, Mark. Them's the rules. Sorry, them's the rules. Let's follow the law.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to do that.
Give us the teeming, wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Let's send our wretched refuse to them.
There you go. I don't have a problem with that. Have a good one.
Such alliteration. Thank you so much.
Hang on,
Thank
man. You, Stan. We'll get you after the news.
Yep, 9:06. We got a call all lined up, so we're good to go. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunday, WKOK News Time. It is 9 a.m. Good morning, everyone.
Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back to WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is directly across from me and diametrically and diabolically opposed to all the common sense, good, smart, intellectual measures that we've tried to talk about on my side of the
Posh.
Table. Okay. Lynn Hall's our producer. What else can I say?
Well, she's good at it, so we can agree on that.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Toll-free line open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. Let's see. We're going to talk to Thane Rosenbaum, a CBS legal analyst. That'll come up at 9:50. This morning, so we'll have a good conservative lawyer on the phone and talk to him about the immigration crisis. That's what we have talked about up to now. We can continue that conversation. Tomorrow's Thursday. I get to take the day off, and Mr. Steve Kushiloff will be here. Friday, we'll have a best of segment, and then Monday will be a year-end review on WKOK's On the Mark program, and then Tuesday, I'll be back. And
so will I, whether you like it or not.
Portraying a bad liberal on the radio. Once again,
I'm coming back on Tuesday, whether you like it or not.
Oh, great. 1-800-795-9565. Van, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I have a dumb question for you. If I told you I was $2 million in debt, do you consider me to be rich?
Yeah, if somebody gave you that much credit, either that or they're stupid, Van, one of the two.
I know where this is going.
Yeah. So if I tell you there's a country that's $31 trillion in debt, and I would tell you that's the richest country in the world, what would you say to that?
Well, their assets far exceed their liabilities.
Their ability to tax people.
Right.
Yeah. But it's like, I figured it right, every American, if there's 330 million people in America, every one of us would owe around $94,000 to pay off the national debt. Now, we are beyond bankrupt in this country. And it's just give money, print more money, give it away, and it's no problem. We're such a loving country. Well, it's time we have to stop that. But the thing I wanted to talk about, I heard you guys laughing at Joseph when he said about this Mark of the Beast thing.
I knew it.
It's hard for me to imagine how somebody in 90 AD could have written in a book that there was going to come a time where you'd have to receive a mark in your right hand or your forehead to buy anything or to sell anything. Because for thousands of years, all humanity has ever used was money. You know, it started out with gold and silver coins or bronze coins, whatever coinage they had. And it wasn't until recently that, you know, past couple hundred years where they had paper money became the thing to use, certificates, and now we have no money backed by any gold or silver, and now we're used to using credit cards, and some people even use their smartphones now to purchase things. So we're seeing a transition right before our very eyes, which is not going to be too much longer in the future. At least that's what I see, where we're going to come, where it's going to have to be a mark to receive, and it'll be digital currency. There'll be no longer any money to purchase things. Do you guys see that as well?
Sorry? We don't know the answer to that.
You can't see that coming? with Bitcoin and FTX, whatever
Well, you know, I think, does anybody understand Bitcoin? I don't understand it. So I'm the last thing in the world I'm going to do is invest in it. And most of the people I know, and I know some bright people, they don't understand it either.
And they don't invest in it.
And they don't invest in it. I mean, it seems to me like it's a sucker deal for people who have more money than brains, in my opinion.
Well, some people got rich out of it. So, you know, somehow there's a buck to be made. They figured it out. But the thing of it is, we're seeing now nations that are developing their own digital currency. And in America, they're talking about the same thing. Great Britain, they're talking about it. China, they're talking about it.
But so, maybe what I don't get is the concern. In other words, if I don't think Bitcoin is a good example because I don't think it's backed by anything.
No.
But if a government comes up with a digital currency and it's backed by the full faith and credit, let's say, of the United States government, that's no different from accepting a piece of paper that says 50 on it and, you know, as a picture of Benjamin Franklin.
Joe, I'll give you one right now. I got a post-it note here. I'm going to put 50 on it. So, Joe...
Is it backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government?
No, this is a bit,
well, then I'm not gonna accept
it. Post-it. So you take this. If you can give me $50 in real money, that would be helpful. And
sure
that is Lawrence's worthless bit post-it.
Well, here's the thing. The government, and this happened up in Canada when you had these truckers that were protesting up there. The government shut down their bank accounts. They didn't have access to their bank accounts. So it was a heavy-handed maneuver by the Canadian government to control people. So we're seeing, and again, the whole thing with the mark of the beast, it's control. It's to bring people into submission. Because if you can't purchase, if I had the ability, Joe, to shut your bank account down to get so you couldn't receive Social Security benefits or any retirement, what would you do then to survive?
Well, I might be down in front of Target with a sign saying, please help me. I've seen people down there.
But then if people don't have money to give you, then how can they help you?
Well, then we're all in the same boat. Then there'd be riots.
Exactly. But here's the thing, and I'll ask you this question. How could someone in 90 AD predict a time where there would come, where there would be no physical money exchanged from hand to hand?
Just lucky, I guess.
Sometimes you got to laugh at you, Mark. You know, it's the answer is so obvious, and I say this and not to be mean to you guys, but when Joseph was talking, there was this cackling. It just reminded me of kids, little children mocking somebody when they're saying something.
And because just for the record, I do not cackle.
Huh?
I do
snickers.
Not cackle.
He snickers. That's the adult version.
Okay.
I may roll my eyes from time to time.
I'll give you that. You didn't cackle like Kamala, but you are snickering and stuff. But it shows that you don't really believe in the seriousness of this, and maybe you don't understand it. And I think we're going to soon find out, because people that oppose certain things right now, when you come and speak out against that, there's going to be a heavy hand that's going to come. And this is going to be in the future very soon. And we saw it demonstrated in Canada. It's happening in other places in the world. China is the biggest proponent of this, where people use their smartphones to purchase things, and they have a societal credit score. And if you don't walk in lockstep and agree with what the government says, they shut down your accounts. They restrict your travel. I saw a man that he dared speak out against the government. They will not allow him to even use public transportation.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Van. Thank you for calling in. Really appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we've got to take a break here.
Yeah, we appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. All right, 1-800-795-9565 on the mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Toll-free line now open, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Stand by, Mike. We do have to do the brief news headlines here. Some hunters in Northumberland County helped save one freezing woman, and then an elaborate search grid helped find two more. The news item reported around sunrise Monday, hunters found a woman who had walked away from a stranded off-road vehicle. She was seeking help and said there were two other women still out in the cold. The first woman was taken to Geisinger Shamokin Area Hospital for evaluation. Then first responders used a helicopter, UTVs, and drones to cover the rest of the territory near the Mount Carmel Township line, eventually finding the other two women safe and sound as well. The impact of the snow, ice, and high winds and bitter cold led to dozens of local road closures. Now, finally, all are reopened. Tuesday morning, PennDOT said Shakespeare Road in East Chillisquaque Township, Northumberland County, reopened to motorists, and Beaver Run Road in Buffalo Township, Union County, reopened. Pennsylvanians are being offered a chance to participate in the new governor's inauguration. Our correspondent David Payne has that story.
Officials with the inaugural committee for Governor-elect Josh Shapiro say they're launching several contests for the celebration. Among them, a hometown heroes recognition, which invites people to nominate community members who've made significant contributions to their home areas. There's also a student art contest, a high school essay contest, and an area to submit selfies. Winners will have their work and stories featured during the Shapiro inauguration and at the governor's residence. Shapiro and Lieutenant Governor-elect Austin Davis will take the oath of office January 17th. I'm David Payne, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
AP reporting Pennsylvania's top election official fully certified results from the November vote late last week after recount petitions in some counties delayed the process. Department of State Acting Secretary Lee Chapman said certification of all races for the 2022 midterm election had finally taken place. There were some holdouts doing meticulously slow and detailed recounts in individual counties in Pennsylvania. Penn Live is reporting that amid national security concerns involving the social media app TikTok, the Pennsylvania Treasurer Stacey Garrity announced that she has banned TikTok's use on Treasury-owned phones and computers. This comes at a time when the U.S. Congress has enacted a similar ban, the House of Representatives cracking down on TikTok in Washington, D.C. Earlier this month, the Senate approved a measure that would ban all federal employees from downloading the app or using it on government-issued devices. Now, everybody in the House of Representatives in Washington warned Tuesday to delete the video sharing app TikTok from their official devices. WKOK News Time, it is now 9:17. Back to open phones. Mike's been standing by. Hello, sir. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, men. Question for you. Was the name of the previous caller Stan?
No, Van.
Van.
Okay, Van. Okay, well, I just kind of caught about maybe half of his conversation, and I'm going to try to paraphrase what I heard, and you guys correct me. Does Van think that if we were to go to digital currency, is his concern that our government would, you know, maybe lock up your account so that you couldn't spend money, or lock up your savings so that you couldn't take money out of savings, or even lock up your phone so that, you know, if you're happen to use that as a sort of a passport, that you wouldn't be able to get on transportation to move from one place? Is that his concern?
That's the presumption, and it's based on the fact that it has happened elsewhere. He used Canada as an example.
I think he was using, you know, as examples of what the government would try to do in controlling you.
Yeah. And is the basis for what Van says the fact that our government aided and abetted the canceling and censoring of scientists during COVID, and you know, basically, if you're not woke, try to shut you down and take your voice away? Is that the basis of what?
Well, I don't want to put words into Van's mouth. That isn't exactly what he said.
I would say that's just a symptom. That's not
right.
The disease started at 90 A.D.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that most of us, well, I can't speak for you guys, but I really never thought that our government was as bad as it is, that they would be willing to send FBI people into Facebook and Twitter and say, hey, you know, we want to say that this is misinformation and we don't want this to get out before the election because it wouldn't be fair, when in reality they knew exactly what they had, most likely, in their hands, and they were just misleading these tech companies, and they were all sleeping together in the same bed. So I could see, just like China, where they take your electronic passport away so that you can't travel to control you. I could see that happening down there. And I think we are, to echo what Van says, I think we are on a slippery slope. You know, there's in the financial world, they like to say that the United States is the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry. And I think that applies to a lot of things. You know, we are good. We do have a lot of freedom, but I think we're taking that freedom for granted, and we are allowing it to slip away. And the only way that you can control the loss of freedom is at the ballot box. And the ballot box is, you know, really no longer the ballot box. The left, and you have to give the left credit. They have taken advantage of the pandemic, or plandemic, whatever you want to call it, rammed through some voting laws in swing states that allowed them to win the last election. And I didn't say cheat. I said it allowed them to win. And, you know, so anybody that wants to call me, you know, a name saying I'm an election denier or anything like that, you know, take that off the plate. I believe they won it fair and square, and they did it by taking advantage of our government, our laws, and I'm going to use the word manipulate them to the way that was advantageous to them, and pass laws that helped them. And I think the Republicans, if they don't get off their rump and change the way they look at voting, we're going to have this one-party rule forever. And I think, it's the last MSA, and I've said that many times before and kept going, but I think the most important thing that the United States has had throughout its history is basically a divided government with responsible officials that responded to the divided government and modified their behaviors. But I think the way we have it right now, I think the left is so firmly in control that we were going to have basically a one-party rule. And when you have a one-party rule, look at China, and you can see what happens with the control, control of people and the laws that gets passed and the illegalities that happen. So I'm real concerned for the future of this country. You've heard me say this many times before, and I would just want to know, what do my friends on the left, what is going in the right way for this country right now to make them think that they are so firmly in control and righteously in control that they're taking this country in the right direction? All I hear is why the Republicans are bad. The only thing I hear from the left is, well, you know, we got we're making abortion, you know, legal right up to the moment of birth, or then some, and all these states, and we're going to make it that way across the whole country, and the president's going to codify it, blah blah blah. But what do we have going for us right now?
Well, you ask the question, what's the answer?
You know, what's good in the country right now, overall, like looking down from a satellite, what would we see?
It's obvious. You know, pretty much we all have electricity in the houses. We all have water. There's food in the grocery store. There's clothing. And we have all those things. But, you know, in a blink of an eye, pretty much, you know, we found out that can disappear, you know, whether it by a natural event or people taking action. So I'm just saying there's so many trends taking place that I believe are going in the wrong direction. Unless we arrest them, we're going to find ourselves looking, you know, like a big Venezuela or a big Haiti or one of these countries where everybody's fleeing and trying to come across our southern border because we don't stink as bad as they do.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks for calling
in. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. Take care now.
Here we got one caller waiting, another one dialing in now, 1-800-795-9565, talking about immigration. Of course, Mike often repeats that we are in trouble. We've heard that mantra since the, 1770s or so.
Right. And so, the beast. We've been talking about the beast.
Mark of the beast. That's right. Or the beast mark, either way.
Mark is a beast some days.
Some days, yeah. 1-800-795-9565. Got a couple of emails, but need some more. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. We will be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Phone number on the topic of welfare and immigration down here, Joe?
To further answer Cindy's question, look up Cloward and Piven. That's the plan.
We talked about that once before, to overrun the welfare system, I believe.
I'm not familiar.
And then it would collapse, and I guess we'd have to do something else.
Okay.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
Our friend Tom says, I can only think of two words to describe the last several callers. Oh, brother.
All right. Dale, you are on the mark. You get a couple minutes. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted people to focus on what Eisenhower's last speech was and where we are right now. And right now we're on Plan B. Plan A was to start a war with Russia, so now we have to start a Plan B. So I think, you know, media is not free speech. Never been free speech. Because the United States media talks more than any other media, but they don't talk about the major problems. They avoid the major problem by giving you distortion. So they compartmentalize with everybody. Everybody's crazy.
What do you
The media never solves nothing, and they never stick to the point. They never put their money where their mouth is.
Do you think the southern border crisis is a major problem?
That is all part of the game. They're going to create a problem in order to fix the problem. That's the industrial-military complex. So I just want to say, you know, they took over. Biden is not the leader of this country. I don't think people understand that. He never was.
The Bar Association is.
Dale,
No, it's the industrial-military complex.
Okay, well,
they control the NSA and the industrial-military complex. That's why everything's being compartmentalized, just like COVID. You know, you were echoing that millions of people were dying in New York. You were telling me that every day, Mark. So you were a part of the problem, not the solution. So I just, you know, it's going to be a revolt. It's going to be a revolt,
man.
From the pigeons and guinea pigs.
The pigeons and the guinea pigs are going to revolt. What about the squirrels? Are they in on this?
I guess I'm a squirrel. I just try to hide my nuts. That's it.
Okay. Well,
but I tell you what,
you're not succeeding.
You guys never put your money where your mouth is. You don't talk about the major problems. So I say, focus on Eisenhower's last speech and try to see where we are today.
He referred to the establishment of a military-industrial complex. Sure. I was wondering when Dale was going to tie that in.
Focus on that for a little bit and look exactly where we're at today.
You believe we have that? That's been established, a military-industrial
complex? No, democracy is a fake. That's a fairy tale. It never was true.
All right. We got you.
Because Russia tells our people what's the real news. They don't feed us with gobble all day. There's like 800 million media outlets in the United States, and none of them tell you the true story of what's happening.
Well, I think Newsmax does.
That the revolt is going to be the pigeons and the guinea pigs.
Dale, if there are 800 media outlets and none of them tell us what's really going on, how did you find out?
You just compartmentalize. That's all the game is.
Well, how'd you
That's
find out? If none of these media outlets are telling the truth, how did you find the truth?
How do I? Because I just stand back and watch the show. I'm not part of it. That's it.
I
just dip in once in a while, and I look at the big, you know. Okay. If you get swallowed up, it's like, you know, getting down. You're lost. That's what they want you to do. That's
right.
Why it's called compartmentalized. You get lost.
We got you.
So try to stand back and look at the show.
All right. Thank you so much, sir.
Good advice. Thank you, Dale.
Yes, really sound
advice.
Answered quite a few questions.
Yes,
you
did.
You're listening to On the Mark of the Beast, WKOK Radio Hour. 1-800-795-9565. In 19 minutes from now, we'll talk to Thane Rosenbaum, a CBS legal analyst, about this immigration issue. Dan, welcome back. Good to hear from you again. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. You know, Tom said a mouthful there when you read the email, whatever he sent. Oh, brother. You know, oh, brother, big brother, is gradually grabbing hold of us in the United States. So he said the truth there, whether he realized it or not. But that's not why I called. I called to say, all your calls were great this morning. A lot of truth getting out there. I thank the Lord for that. But the reason I call is, I've said for years before the election, this election was between good and evil. The evil won out. However they want it, they're in control. But right now, this stuff that's being done to us is deliberate. This is not accidental. It's not accidental. We have runaway inflation. Didn't have to be. Don't have to be at all. It's no accident that we go to the gas pump. We're not paying quite double what we did under the last administration. That's no accident. That was deliberate. It's deliberate that the borders are open. It's deliberate that they shut down building the wall. And as your caller said before me, this is the government ruining America so we can have a dictatorship here run by the beast system. And that's exactly what's going on. No matter what you gentlemen think about it, this is what's happening, and it's happening so fast that you can't believe it. And as Van was talking, 90 AD, he was talking about prophecy that was written in the Holy Bible. How did they know? How did that come to be that someone knew that this was going to happen? Well, guess who wrote the scripture by inspiration? By God. It was God who inspired the writers to write the scripture. That's how you know what's going on today. So this is deliberate, you gentlemen, what's happening to America. It's no accident. And all your callers were right in everything they said. Every one of them made a great point. And my point is, no, it's not being run by dummies. They know what they want to do. No one could be this stupid to ruin a country deliberately and think that they're helping us. This is deliberate to get government control. So,
okay.
That's what I say. I don't know if you can see that or not.
Well, these aren't going to go down in history as the feel-good year-end calls of the year, so they're not going to make a highlight reel. But we have a lot of people for a lot of years
I'm with Dale.
Who have told us that we are
the,
in trouble, and this is just another example of it.
The squirrels and the chipmunks are going to revolt.
The thing of it is, we won't be able to revolt. They're taking our right away to revolt if they control the currency, as is going to happen, as our great friend Van said. It's going to happen.
But they do control it, Dan.
If you don't agree, go ahead.
They do control the currency. The government controls the currency right now.
But they don't control your cash flow. I can get cash. They have no idea where I spend that cash.
Oh, don't bet on it. Do you get a receipt?
Some places, yeah.
Well, if you get a receipt, it's in a computer somewhere that you bought something.
But if they get digital control, they can shut you off. Now, they can't. Well, they could shut me off. Yeah, they could.
Do you have a bank account? Do you have a bank account?
Sure.
Well, then they could shut you down tomorrow. I mean,
I
don't think there's any difference.
They could.
There's no difference.
But once they get digital control, they can have much better control of you running through the digital phone systems. They'll have much better control of you.
Do you use credit cards? Do you use credit cards?
Sure.
Well,
somewhat.
All right.
I use it mostly as a debit.
So do I. But, it's more convenient than money. So
exactly, and sure it is. But the more that we get, the more they know about where I spend, what I spend, and just suppose happened in the IRS a couple years ago. They tried to get rid of conservative groups by taking away their tax-exempt status.
Right.
And that could happen again. The more they know, the more they want to know about us. And they, if they see Dan from New Berlin spending money, till I just say I never did, but just say I'd send money to Trump. He's the hated villain of America. They could cut me off and say, no more sending money to Trump, Dan.
Yeah.
See,
they'll audit your IRS money.
We are still a country of laws, Dan, and as long as we have people who will stand up for the rights of the citizens, this isn't going to happen.
You feel comfortable in your position, Joe.
I do.
And what are you going to say the day these prophecies that some of us callers talk about on here, when they come to into fulfillment, then what will you say?
Well, let me ask you a question. Oftentimes, and I don't want to get into a biblical discussion, but I don't understand how the mechanics of it would work if people who, like you, believe what you believe, it comes true. We have to have the mark of the beast to buy or sell anything. Okay, so you don't have the mark of the beast. What happens to you? Die?
Yep.
Okay.
It's basically, you're out on your own scrounging what you can get. And
you don't think there'd be people that would set up charities? You would think there would be people set up charities to help the people who couldn't buy or sell anything?
Charities will not have any money either, unless they're government-controlled charities. And if you're a rebel without the mark of the beast, you won't be able to go to them. You won't get anything because the charities will be controlled by the mark of the beast.
First, we have to have the beast, right? That has to come first.
The mark, yep.
No, I mean the beast itself. The beast has to come, right?
The beast is already there, though.
The beast is here?
Well, he's already present, sure. The flesh.
We don't know who it is. The beast system is being developed right now. As all your callers alluded to, some of them directly.
All right, we got
to
hit the road.
This morning, the system is coming in effect right now. We can see it by when they controlled the population under COVID.
All right, we got to hit the road, Dan.
Still don't understand how it works.
Your business can't be open. It can't do this. That's the beast system.
Okay. Hey, listen, we got to roll. We got to take another caller. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate your call.
You guys have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Happy New Year.
And to you as well, sir. Take care.
All right. 1-800-795. Oh, scratch that. We won't have time for open phones. We got a caller that'll take the last minute, and then we'll have Thane Rosenbaum. We'll be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, China's controlling a lot of kids today through TikTok.
Yep.
So, all right, who's first? Joseph, you get 1 minute for some strange reason. Go right ahead.
Okay, you asked a question about how could this be implemented. Very quickly, it's got to come through an economic collapse worldwide. That will happen. We cannot owe this kind of money, $30 trillion, over $30 trillion. This happened in Germany in 1923. And if you learn history, if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it. In Germany in 1923, of course, the Deutschmark just collapsed totally. If you had just, say, 500,000 Deutschmarks in the bank, should have been worth 125,000 U.S. currency. You went to draw it out, you got one penny. You got 1.5 million mark bill, and it was worth less than a penny U.S. currency. So they're just going to devaluate. Inflation is going to devaluate our currency, and it's going to come to chaos. And out of that chaos where the mark of the beast come, and everybody will gladly receive it that don't know scripture and don't understand and aren't born again believers, they will receive it. the majority of the world and of the United States people.
You're a decade off. That was the 1930s when the Weimar Republic went belly up with inflation, not the 20s. So.
All right. And Dale, for some strange reason, also wants another minute.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I don't want to leave you guys thinking, but one thing Trump did was he helped everyone out because he didn't like the media, so he questioned why 20 of the largest media outlets in the United States have dual employment, and he wanted to know who the other employer was. So, you know, he helped us out there. I don't trust the media because, you know, so if, you know, they're getting paid from their, you know, network, then who else is their other employer?
Well, who else is? Who is?
It's the industrial military complex. So they're getting money there, and they're getting money from their networks.
Come on.
So the media, there ain't no free speech. So they're getting dual employment.
Of course not. We get paid to speak.
The chief editor of the 20 top media outlets. So that's what I want to just, you know, there's something to chew on.
All right, we got you, brother. Thank you for checking in.
We're munching away. Thank you.
Hey, I want to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. They are looking for some good workers. If you are interested in a career change, an experienced technician, or an entry-level worker, or you're looking to start your first job, you can do so at the Sunbury Motor Company. They got some openings down there. You can stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. It's an opportunity for you to work for the Sunbury Motor Company. SMC stands for Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars and satisfying more customers, and you can get involved in that. They would just love to chat with you and get you online, helping them to get the Sunbury Motor Company even more widely known. So help out the Sunbury Motor Company. Go down there, become one of their good employees. If you're not working, now's your opportunity to do so. And the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com, selling brand new Ford, Hyundais, and Kias. We've been talking about specific vehicles as time goes on, so we'll talk about the very favorite Hyundai Kona, economical vehicle. Prices start at $20,000. I mean, you could just go up to $40,000, and they would get you squared away at the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. With that, we welcome Thane Rosenbaum to our studios. Good morning, sir. Thank
you. Good morning, Thane. Good to have you back on.
Thanks for being available.
Always happy to be on your show.
Well, we have Title 42 about to be decided.
Actually, was decided by the Supreme Court.
Well, but it's still pending. It's just temporarily on hold. How can the Biden administration argue both sides of this, that they want to get rid of it and they want to keep it, and that we have this crisis still evolving?
Well, nowadays they seem to want to keep it. At first they were ambivalent about it, but now they took a position when the 19 states brought a lawsuit. Remember, this all began when 19 states challenged the lifting of Title 42, saying that this was still a national emergency, even if it's not purely related to COVID. It's a law enforcement emergency. It's a public health emergency that essentially over 2 million migrants were sent back to Mexico and their home countries under Title 42. That's a huge number, especially when you consider the fact that the border seems to be open throughout, you know, the non-official border crossings. Remember, this also applies really just to the official crossings. So this means that for people that were going through the actual border and were seeking asylum, Title 42 was used during the Trump administration to say, okay, fine, go back to where you were and we'll process your asylum application, but we're not going to let you run through the United States, and then we'll have to try to find you. So that's really what the border states have been saying, that Title 42 is necessary because, for instance, in El Paso, 1,500 people are crossing through anyway, and they anticipate it'll be 6,000 if Title 42 is lifted. So a federal judge a month ago said, yeah, but you can't use Title 42 because Title 42 is being, its ostensible purpose is for the COVID vaccine, coronavirus. And if that's no longer a public health crisis, you can't rely on Title 42. The states are saying, what's the difference, right? Does it really make a difference what the emergency is? It's an emergency. Well, you know, lawyers, it makes a big difference. And actually, the Supreme Court likes to decide cases narrowly. So even Justice Gorsuch, a conservative justice, yesterday voted with the liberals, saying, yeah, but you can't use this law if we don't use the Supreme Court for public policy, that's Congress's job. It's not the Supreme Court's job to establish public policy. You've got a problem that you don't have a comprehensive immigration overhaul, and that's your problem, executive branch and legislative branch. Don't throw us into it. So all that happened yesterday, the Supreme Court said, all right, you know what? We're going to hear the case. They could have rejected the case. They could have just said it's lifted by two federal courts below, and we're just not going to touch it. We're not going to intervene. But instead, last week they said, we'll take a look. And yesterday they basically said, you know what? We're going to literally go through full arguments in February and come up with an actual decision.
Well, let me ask you this, Thane. Let's take the health care issue out of it entirely. From a constitutional standpoint, could Congress safely enact something that does the same thing without the health emergency even being considered in it?
Absolutely, right? I mean, look, remember, our immigration system has been broken for years. And you know how the reasons you know that? Because we've had no comprehensive immigration legislation at all. What you've seen, if I can remind you, you've seen executive orders by presidents doing things that set a new policy. For instance, President Obama, the Dreamers Act, that wasn't legislative. That was done by the president, right? That was DACA. The Muslim travel ban by Donald Trump, that wasn't through Congress. That was the president. Now, those things ended up getting challenged by the Supreme Court because it's questionable whether the executive branch can make those sweeping decisions. But Congress just seemingly can't work together. So, yes, they could actually step in and create a legislation that actually establishes border security that would be enforceable and would require the actual enforcement and, more importantly, would allow for the resources, because that's what these 19 states are saying. We're not even set up to do what we need to do. We can't protect the border. We don't have the resources to even do it. And so this Biden administration is saying, yes, we'll send you more resources, but Congress has power over the purse, right? So when it comes to the financing of these border protection procedures, it's really going to have to come from the legislative branch. But in this instance, the Supreme Court is being asked to step in under these emergency circumstances to render a decision. The question is, what will the six conservative justices rule? Because many people would argue, well, clearly they're going to rule against the Title 42, or rather, more importantly, to keep it in place to stem the tide and the surge of this new immigration problem.
Why is it legal to allow all of these individuals at the border to pour over like this? Why can't the Biden administration be held accountable? Why isn't it impeachable that, you're certainly sworn to uphold laws of the U.S., but one is that immigration laws are part of it, but we don't have a significant effort to stop the flow?
I don't even know I know I'm your legal analyst. I'm supposed to know this, but it is strange. I agree with you. Right, there are laws to prevent this. You know, I'm a child of immigrants. My parents waited their turn. Right, so yeah, I understand. I believe America is the home of immigrants. What's happened is, with respect to the southern border alone, you can conclude all the reasons why it is different. Right, are there more emergencies or life threatening situations south of the border? Right. What are the reasons why that border is not being held secure? What was it that galvanized Donald Trump's supporters when they heard the word build a wall, right? They galvanized. People, like, rallied around that idea of building a wall. So there's obviously something different about that border, but it is clearly correct when you say it's not like the laws aren't already in place, that you wait your turn and that you show up for your asylum applications and you subject yourself to removal procedures when and if courts act. But, you know, after the Biden administration soon came into office, we started to see a softness to border law enforcement and a sense on the other side that the Biden administration was agreeable to letting people just walk in. It wasn't ever legal to do that. That's what border crossings are for. But if you ignore the border crossings and cross anywhere you want, you end up in a situation we have now where we see, We see every night Border Patrol trying to chase people down and other people just casually walking across as if they already live here.
But we look at these agents of the United States government who are charged with enforcing our border laws, and they say their hands are tied because of what the administration's doing. But don't they have an obligation to enforce the laws no matter what?
Yeah, but, you know, yes, the problem is that, you know, all administrations have their priorities, right? And those priorities, sometimes what it requires is to ignore the enforcement of other laws. So we've seen this in other capacities. Immigration is really now in our face because we are seeing an absolute open border, and we're told by the Biden administration it's closed, right? So it's surreal. On the one hand, we see that it seems to be open, and on the other hand, we're being told that the law is being enforced and that this is not a national security threat. I mean, the head of the Department of Homeland Security has said repeatedly that the border is secure and the border is closed. It just doesn't appear that way. But yes, I don't know whether it's an impeachable offense, but it's not the first time that presidents, you know, look the other way or administrations look the other way in order to achieve a different kind of policy result that they want. Obviously, the Democratic Party, and certainly the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, sees an enormous advantage either on humanitarian reasons or political reasons to keep the border open. Obviously, from their perspective, this is a win, and they think their base supports an open immigration policy.
Well, there is some sentiment about impeaching Mayorkas, but isn't that kind of going after the tail when the head's alive?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the difficulty is that, you know, it's people who feel like they're not being, there's no intellectual honesty from the administration.
Okay, you can finish that answer.
They're not describing it. They're saying it's closed and it's secure when it just doesn't seem to be that way. But you're right. You can impeach Mayorkas, but the directions are obviously coming from above.
Thank you, Thane.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for your answers. Anything else on this critical issue that you'd like to add maybe we did not ask you?
No, I think we got it. I mean, I think the interesting thing is what the court will do. Because one of the things the court can do, Supreme Courts don't like sweeping pronouncements, except when it came to abortion, which is why everyone was so surprised who follows the court. Courts like to answer rule on the most narrow grounds possible. So don't be surprised, gentlemen, next month in February, if the argument is really about procedural standing, right? Not about enforcement of law, procedural standing. What does that mean? It means, do these 19 states have the legal standing to come before the Supreme Court and ask this remedy, especially the states that are not on the border, right? If you're not on the border, why are you in my courtroom, right? That's what's called standing. Do you have the standing to be able to stand here? And it wouldn't surprise me if they decide this case on standing procedural grounds and not on the heart of the matter on whether the border needs to be secured.
Thane, thank you so much for your answers your observations and opinions. Always very much appreciated. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anytime for you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. That is Thane Rosenbaum, CBS legal analyst. And that wraps up our On the Mark program. I'll see you next Tuesday, but Joe will be back tomorrow morning with Steve Kushiloff. Thank you, Lynn Hall, for being our producer. You're listening to News Radio 1070, WKOK Sunbury. We're going to join the Steve Jones. No, we're going to join the Dan Patrick Show, already in progress. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.